think I'll read from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And let's read from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning at the first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slime of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right, he says here that, but fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And he uses the term there, named among you, that is, don't let anyone among you be found guilty of this, as to that, to be named, that one of you are guilty. And then, even beyond that, he tells us that we should not even speak of those things that's done in secret. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, a lot of people, they kind of have a habit. Their conversation or somehow it always centers around the wrong thing. When they get together, they always get into a gossiping or backbiting, or they get into talking about things that belong to people in private. And it's none of their affairs, and things that's not to be discussed, but men discuss it and women discuss it, and it's just so gaudy and ugly in the sight of God. It's so repulsive to the Lord for people to do that, but that's what they thrive off of in the day that we're living in. Now, it says here in the 14th verse that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And he tells us here that in the 18th verse, he said, And they that of this world, they having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, whereas the Bible said, and they've got past feeling. Some of them have actually got past feeling. But the thing is here, he says that these people are aliens to God. They are aliens to God. One time in life, the Gentile people in general were aliens to God and alienated from God because of the ignorance. And in that salvation is of the Jew, God had accepted the Jew because the blindness as to the Jew was in part. And that until the Gentiles' days should be finished. So then, as to salvation, salvation is of the Jew, and the Gentile was cut off as to being alienated by the darkness of the foolishness of their heart. You know, this is something we need to really consider, because it is a true proven fact that though we are the most intelligent people in the world, as supposed, as to intellectually, it could not be questioned. But still, at the same time, as to God, we are the most ignorant people in the world. And even though here in America, the place that's called the New World, we know a lot about religion, folks. We know a lot about religion, but we are somewhat like the Jews that knew all about religion and hardly knew anything about God. When God himself came to walk among the Jews after the many years of indoctrination, they didn't even recognize God. And the Bible said God being in the world and the world not recognizing God, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching that men should be saved. When you think of preaching, it's really foolishness as to shouting and screaming at somebody. You know, it just don't seem like that would be the proper thing to do, is just scream at people to be able to get them to come to God or to get them saved. But nevertheless, though it be foolishness, the Bible said even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. To holler at people would be foolishness, and yet it's wiser than men in that it is God speaking as to raise our voice like a trumpet, lift up our voice like a trumpet, and to show the people of their sin. Though they delight to come to church, though they delight to come before me as one that hath done the thing that I desire for them to do. But the Bible said, with their lips they serve me, but their hearts are far from me. So we find that God is love, and love is indeed. Love is something that becomes interwoven with you and I, and then once it becomes interwoven with our interspiritual being, then it is expressed as Christ. That life is made manifest within our mortal genes by our daily activities to give, to help, to esteem others better than ourselves, to look on the things of another, to seek the welfare of another. And that is love. And the Bible said we should love indeed. I never will forget when I was coming along in my real early life, a little discussion going on, and somebody said something about love. It was as to somebody that was in the church, and I said, well, we're supposed to have the love of God, and we're supposed to have the love of God for one another, which is really true, you know. But I remember a lady, she had been in the church a long time, and she was an elderly lady, and she knew I was real young, and she said, no, that isn't right. Well, that didn't set too good, you know, because even today I still think it's love one for another. The Bible speaks of that. But nevertheless, the lady was right in what she said, because she said, not love one for another. It says love one to another. And I thought, well, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the others. No, she said it's not the same. She said, I can have something for you and never give it to you. But if I've got something to you, that's different altogether. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, well, praise God. I learned a lesson at an early age I'll always remember. So that's why I'm quoting it back to you today. See, we need to have expressed love. We need to have love that is an expression to one another. And love, whereas we seek the welfare of another, or that we should do something that our light might shine. The Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We should go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in to the house of God, that the house of God may be filled up. And we should share all that we've got, everything that we've got, from our strength right on down to our substance. We should share it with the needy, with the poor, or with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the early church, they had all things common. No one said, this is mine or this is mine. They had all things common, and they came together and they shared. When you say all things common, it don't mean a commune. And it doesn't mean that you come together where everybody puts all of their eggs in the same basket. That's not the way you have all things common. The terms there, all things common, is that they had common clothes, common houses, a common income, a common outlook, and they condescended to men of low estate. And whatever they had was just a common way of life. They didn't try to be high-minded, lofty in their thinking, or try to excel as to the elite of the upper echelon of the world. They didn't try to do that. They were just common people, for the Bible said that the common people heard Jesus gladly. So here at Bethlehem, we're not a commune. We didn't come together to do that, whereas that's all right for people that do that. There's some that we know of that's friends of ours, that they have things like this, and they all come to the same table and eat, and they put all their money together, and all of them works under one leadership as to the farms and the cattle and whatever, and they seem to be happy. And if they're happy, that's fine with me, you know. As long as they're serving God, it's their business. I don't care how they serve Him, as long as they serve Him right. But it can be disillusioning in that we are at Bethlehem a community. That is, we are just people together in a community that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do believe in all things common. And God has blessed us in every way. He has blessed us with things that excel beyond that of the common people. You have things that common people don't have or didn't have in years gone by. It's pretty much common now to have the things that we have here. But the thing is, years gone by, people couldn't afford different things that you have now. But anyway, we condescend to men of low estate in our hearts, and we look upon the other man to see his need. And your testimony and your faith is spoken of throughout the entire world. All around the world goes your faith, and people speak of it, and they write about it. Paul said in the scriptures, speaking to the church, he said, and your faith is spoken of throughout the entire world. And of course, when we came here, I said, now folks, the one thing that I want fulfilled in our lives is to know that the faith of Bethlehemites will be spoken of throughout the whole world, and you're praised now throughout the whole world, and your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. all because of your sincerity, integrity with God, and your diligence toward worshiping God. Walking upright, you've become a light. Not everyone that's come to be with us is here. Not everyone that came to be with us walked upright. But there's been enough of you that have walked upright, that have come here to spread a light around the world. There's been enough sacrificial efforts from you people as a whole that the testimony has gone around the world and the gospel has gone around the world. And for this, we're very grateful, even though we feel like we're just barely scratching the surface, yet it has gone around the world. And today you have properties in Israel, and today you have properties in different places, and you have endeavors that's going on for Christ, for radio and television and all kind of things as to the printed page, all because of your diligence in God or your efforts or concern for God and for lost humanity. All right, so we love indeed. We're not like the world. We don't have our minds darkened by the spirit of intellectual ignorance, which is within those that have this problem. And the Bible said the eyes of the understanding not being enlightened, they cannot comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great, marvelous thing. But I say so often that you are children of light. And though this light shined in the darkness comprehended it not. But you being children of light, the Bible teaches that you comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great marvelous thing. Now even this morning, I wanted to minister on a certain thing this morning. I had it on my heart to minister. I don't feel up to it, but I had it on my heart to minister. So far as the audience is a very good audience, and so far as the anointing, a very good anointing, so far as the spirit, it's a very good spirit. I'd have no problem as to that. But then, on the other hand, it will take a little while to be able to get into what I wanted to say to you. And I don't know the endurance. I just don't know when I don't feel that exuberant, you know, to kind of preach at you. If you start getting a little restless, then I kind of eased up a little bit. But speaking of the darkness, this world is in darkness. It's hard for you to fathom that because you say, well, I don't see any darkness. You know, we got the lights on. And of course, people that are intellectual, that's the way they understand it. If the sun's out, to them, it's not dark. You know, if the lights are on somewhere and they're in the building, then it's not dark. But folks, that has nothing to do with light. All of that is a symbolic thing. All of that is just vanities that'll pass away. See, in the vanity of your mind, well, that is all is vanity, 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 and vexation of the spirit, Solomon the great wise man said, because he was able to look beyond that. See, all is vanity. So great was the wisdom of Solomon that the Queen of Sheba came to hear his wisdom, having heard of his fame, and said the half of it has never been told. So then, God, we are willing, as it was with Solomon, or his people, to sit at the feet of God to hear the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, or of the great Holy Spirit that speaks to us in this day. For now, the Bible said, there is a greater than Solomon here. So then with the wonderful voice of God, as we are all, the Bible said they shall all be taught of God, as we're all taught of God of these wonderful, great, marvelous things, our minds are enlightened and we are not darkened in our minds and we're not alienated in our minds from the wonderful wealth of God, as we would say, as to this extent that we are filled with our minds and hearts as to vanity. Vanity of vanities. I'm not interested in the ball games, and I'm not interested in the fashion shows, and I'm not interested in the places of dignitaries in this world of being celebrities, and I'm not interested in money and riches and fame and popularity and diamond rings, and I'm not interested in frocks, and I'm not interested in praise and admiration and diplomacies of life. See, I'm not interested in all of the vanities of life. I'm not interested in it. My mind isn't on that. My heart isn't on that. The love of the world isn't in my heart, but my heart is in God, to love Him with all of my mind, mind, all of my strength, all of my heart, all that is within me to love the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Holy Spirit, and to love my neighbor as myself. And you know, that's a big statement right there. Someone would say, Brother Pike, how do you explain loving your neighbor as yourself? You love your neighbor as yourself, you'll share your paycheck with them. Let's give the Lord a hand. My, I don't think we got too many lovers in the world today. I don't see too much of that going on. You love the Lord? You would think, looking around you, that folks would love the IRS a whole lot better than their neighbor because they share with them with a regularity. Somebody say hallelujah. You know what? I asked the Lord one time about that situation, and he says, yes, it's because, as we would say, they don't love their neighbor and share with their neighbor, so the devil gets it anyway. Isn't that right? You see a lot of meetings coming to town. You see great big tents sometimes, or great big to-dos in town, fairs, or whether it's shows, or whether it's preachers, or whatever. And you see people just literally pouring out the finance by the buckets. They get it. They get it. Hundreds and thousands of dollars they get. But that's because the Bible said they would do that. You make much, you bring it home, it'll come to little because I'll blow upon it, because you let my house lay waste. Because you don't share with your neighbor, you don't share with the poor, you don't share with God. As the Bible said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that ye should visit the widows in the orphans and their afflictions, and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Because you don't do that, then the devil comes by and gets it. And that's why sometimes your bank accounts get confiscated. That's why the IRS freezes up some of your treasures, because you put it in the bank and you think it's safe. Now, there's another rat that's not a hole. You know, Satan is like a rat, like I was telling my wife this morning. As fast as you patch up one hole, you can hear him gnawing over here to cut another one through. I remember Brother Jim Kirk and myself went down into Mexico, and just before we entered in, we stopped on this side of the border and stopped there in Texas at an old house of a woman that called herself, what was it, Jesus something. Anyway, she had the name Jesus attached to her name, and we stopped there, and she rented us this place. And that night, I believe Jimmy made the statement, or some of us did, that it sounded like they were having a baseball game. The rats were so big and so many, until I'm telling you, it was a hideous sound. But that's the way it is in the world. Somebody said it's a rat race. Well, there's one thing for sure, it's a bad situation. Now, you know, we are not in darkness in our minds. Our love and affection is not on the things of the world. Our desire is not toward the things of the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, but we're not of the world. We don't love the world, neither do we have the love of the world in us. For the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of God isn't there. If you're the kind of person that has love and admiration for the natural, materialistic values of life, you do not have the love for spiritual things. Because light and darkness don't dwell together. And to be carnally minded is death, which means that when you take the carnal things into you, you also take Satan into you, because the carnal things are contaminated and under a curse. And when you take them in, you take the infiltration of darkness into you. And the Bible said, if that light in that Satan is a reflector, if that light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So then, when you have an ambition to make money, an ambition to work, an ambition to do the things of the world, an ambition to excel in the world, then are you children of darkness, and then are you the bond's child as to the intellectual reasoning of your human senses that relates to the tangible matters of life, and you are in bondage to them, and you can't get loose from them. It's like the fly in the spider web. And so then we find that they that are born of God are dead to the flesh and dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they are not relative to the world as to the human senses, but they've killed out their human senses and they've converted their lives over until their sense within as to Christ, that thing of faith and desire toward God, those heavenly desires are there and their treasures are laid up in heaven with all of their efforts, all of their endeavors, and their conversation is in heaven. All the great wonderful things that God has for them is in heaven, and they are themselves in heaven, dwelling in heaven and rejoicing forevermore. And they've gladly, as Paul said, taken the spoiling of their goods to be able to share with the needy and with the poor, that the light of God might shine, that all the world may see their good works. And thus God hath rewarded them. For to save your life in this world, then you lose it, as to the world to come or eternal life. But to sacrifice your life here is to give it to God, and then you get life, and that more abundantly or extensive life, as to that from the Prince of Life, even Christ, who comes into your heart to furbish and refurbish over and over through your whole lifetime, blessing you with health, blessing you with the wonderful things of heaven and all of the benefits of earth. For the Bible said, God hath given you all things that pertain unto life. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's health, happiness, joy, peace, whether it's finance, whatever the Bible said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. His blessing maketh thee rich, addeth no sorrow. And him that you've delighted yourself in the Lord, I will give you the desires of your heart. Well, anyway, it's a wonderful thing to know that you are in God and God is in you. And that you have this wonderful heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And that your mind is no more distorted. Neither are you tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You know, I thank God for one thing. As a rule, my people aren't tossed about by every wind of doctrine. I see churches, I see preachers, I see people. Preachers always changing their mind about what they've said or thought. And I know that we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I mean, they're always changing their mind, and the flock gets so mixed up. It's like scientists, you know, always changing their predictions, and it's like the newspaper. One newspaper comes out and says this, and they hurried to get the sensation for the money for the story, and then another one later finds out it's not exactly that way, so they distort the mind again. And you don't know what to think, you don't know what to believe, you don't know what to say. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the way it is, see, with the world, with the church world, and all of the world, and even the ministry. But I thank God that here with our people, it's not like that, only to this extent that some of them are not grown up in the Lord. Some of them are not steadfast in the Lord. Some don't pray and fast and study like they ought to. But they are indoctrinated with the truth to this extent that they will stand on that and they will fasten themselves to it like a house built on a rock. And they will not shift about with the shifting sands of theology and ideology as for you to tell them something. They believe in what we say. It's very evident that they do. The years have proved it. Now, so then, I thank God for that, because that is a root in the earth. And if there's a few churches here and there that does that, then you get together with them and the pastors get together, the children of God get together. Then you've got a tree that's blossoming out with the fruits of the Spirit as to those things that pertain unto life. And soon that wonderful tree of life that will spread all over the world and bring in the great millennium. And people will see the difference between feeding from the old tree of knowledge and the difference, as we say, to feed from the tree of life. If Eve had chosen the tree of life, then she would never have died, nor would her children have died. And someone would say, well, what is the tree of life? The tree of life is the word of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. And the Bible speaks of you as being members or branches of that vine or that great tree, in that Jesus said concerning himself, when they wept, weep not, he said, as to daughters of Jerusalem. If they do this to a green tree, and that I'm full of the sap of God, or life of God, because the Bible said the trees of God are full of the sap of God, so then what will they do to the dry? And if ye be branches of that great tree, then that means the family tree, as you and I are of God's people or children, is the tree of life. And the family tree of those that are without, who have their minds darkened with this as to the wrong to be alienated or aliens from God, then that is the tree of knowledge, or the family tree that God cut down in his rejection at Calvary when John laid the axe to the root of the tree. Then it was cut down all the way back to the garden, and God rejected that generation all the way up to Calvary, because when he smote the body of Jesus, he gave his feelings as to his pleasure and feelings about that human body of that first birth and cut it all off. All the way back, and then started a new generation by the washing of regeneration, as to say, bringing him up as in the baptism, as going down into the heart of the earth, delivered for our offenses, coming back up out of the wound of Mother Earth, as to be raised again for our justification. And today it's not you living, but Christ that's living within you, and it is now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I hope that we can get around to saying some things about what we wanted to talk about concerning, how can I say it? There's a number of things that are involved in it, but I guess the best way to say it is the translation. Might even say it like this, as to the transfiguration. But whatever it is, we would have to apply the word change to where you could understand it. But a lot of revelation, a lot of great knowledge, a lot of great understanding, a lot of the deep mysteries that are yet to be revealed to the church as we go along. And at the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God should be finished. For he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And as I said, the mysteries are rendered as to the original rendering secrets. So that which is secret belongeth unto God, and that which is revealed as to revelation belongeth unto man. I want to thank you for helping us out last night. I want to thank you for the other times that you've helped us out in supporting our ministry in different places, and it's a real strength to us. And for supporting us in many, many ways, financially, physically, as you deny yourself and what you do to be a light as for Bethlehem. And to those that don't, may someday they get converted, and may they do it. And to those that are not interested in God, nor helping, nor evangelizing, or taking a little of their time to go out to sacrifice, maybe someday they'll get converted. Or if they don't feel bad at them, because it is not you that is suffering the loss, but it is them that's suffering the loss, because we're commanded to go on to the full measure and to the full reward, and it is they that fails to get the reward that you do, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and they're failing to achieve in life as to what you are achieving, so therefore they do not get the reward. You know, you can have a lot of the world mixed in with this thing if you want to do it that way, as to letting your mind drift off here and there, only to find chastisement, only to find problems, only to find correction, only to suffer loss, even to the extent that you don't bring forth any fruit to perfection. And in that you don't, then that means that somewhere down the line, there is a possibility that you may get in as if by fire. But if by fire, then all of your works are burned. And folks, I don't want to go in like that. If I can't go in any other way, I'll go in like that if you'll let me. But I don't want to go in like that. I like that song, "And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." I was thinking about that this morning. Maybe we ought to sing that love chorus, Brother Taylor. Can we all stand together? I kept you a good little bit this morning, just exhorting you. But if we should speak as in Revelation, to have it revealed to us as to, well, we have a message here called the covering of his glory. We have another one here called the dispute over the body. And all of these things could be applied to this message, because it covers a broad scope. And it is something that we've been kind of preaching up to, as to lay some things in a row. In the world, they use the terms, they got all their ducks in a row. And I guess they mean that from these little old shows where they set them up and shoot them down, I reckon. But anyway, we don't have any ducks here, but we do believe, as God teaches, that it is line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, word upon word, that we should have everything in a sequence and a continuity to where we can edify, to let all things be done to the edification of the church. And these things that we'd like to bring out would tie some things together as to the translation. But I don't know that we'll get to say them tonight. I don't know that we'll get to say them probably someday if Jesus tarries. But I really had it on my mind to minister to you about them this morning. But a lot of reasons why that we don't do the things we'd like to do. All right, can you sing together with me? We better sing Bring in the Sheaves first, though. I felt we better do it. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, 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 we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. All right, let's sing another little chorus or two before we let you go. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this song at the time. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. And poured in the oil. Jesus poured in that oil and the wine. It's the
the jerry roll and be pulled in.
One more time.
Jesus pulled in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores my soul. Finally bleeding and dying on the jerry roll and be pulled in the oil.
One more time.
Jesus pulled in and the wine. If the wine that restored my soul, I'll be bleeding and dying on the jerry roll and be pulled in the oil and the wine.
Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. Give me another key.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit.
Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes?
While I sit at my Lord's feet, oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. So don't turn away. So don't turn him away. Come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to please your call on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away.
Lift your hands and close your eyes and let's sing this little chorus.
And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory again. faithful, for his blood has washed away every stain.
Once again, and I
will pray.
But ask Brother Matt Duke if he'll come up here and dismiss us. Praise the Lamb for sinners. Don't you love him, folks? Don't you love him? Isn't Jesus sweet? The Bible said, taste and see if the Lord is good. Lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. I'm the bread of life, and he that's hungry, let him come to me. He that is athirst, let him come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Praise the Lamb for sinners.